For the third time in less than a decade, Ohio voters will consider a measure to change how state legislative and congressional districts are drawn. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. That measure on the ballot is Issue 1. Supporters say it would stop gerrymandering. Opponents say passage of Issue 1 would do the opposite. Today, we're going to spend the hour talking about Issue 1 with guests on both sides of the issue and a reporter who's been covering it. Joining me now are Ohio State Representative Brian Stewart, an Asheville Republican. Welcome, Representative Stewart.
Good to be here. Thanks.
League of Women Voters of Ohio Executive Director Jen Miller. Thanks for being here, Jen.
Thanks so much.
And USA Today Network Ohio Bureau Reporter Jesse Ballmer. Welcome back, Jesse.
Thanks. Always happy to talk about redistricting.
Well, funny you mention that because we're here to talk about Issue 1, but let's start with some of the basics. Explain what redistricting is briefly and why it's so important.
Yeah, so there are a number of people who represent you in Columbus, like Representative Stewart, or in Congress, like Greg Landsman or Warren Davidson in the Cincinnati area, who represent portions of the state. So you have people who are elected statewide, like the governor or U.S. senator, but the rest of these folks are representing a district. And about every 10 years, we get population data from the U.S. Census, and it tells us where people are living, and we kind of change around where these districts are drawn to adjust for population. So if Columbus or Cincinnati is growing, they're going to get more representation in Columbus and Washington, D.C., and if an area is shrinking, they might get less representation. So that's redistricting, but how you draw these lines can be pretty political, and it's considered gerrymandering when you're giving one side an unearned advantage in this process.
And Jesse, what is Ohio's current system for drawing these district maps, and how would this constitutional amendment change that if voters pass Issue 1? And I know I'm asking you a question that could take hours to explain, but give us kind of the Cliff's Notes version.
Yeah, so if you remember, voters approved in 2015 and 2018 ways to draw first the state legislative districts and then later the congressional districts. For the state legislative districts, it's drawn by the Ohio Redistricting Commission, which includes seven elected officials. Four of them are lawmakers and three of them are statewide officials. So the governor, the auditor, the secretary of state. The way that elections have gone recently, there are currently five Republicans and two Democrats on this commission. And so that commission draws the maps, approves the maps. For the congressional district, it actually starts with the state legislature. They're given the first crack at drawing districts, and if they can't agree, then it moves back to this commission. This process played out in 2021 and 2022. The Ohio Supreme Court, in a number of 4-3 decisions, ruled that these maps were unconstitutional. There were other lawsuits, and U.S. Supreme Court kind of kicked it back. Eventually, we got the maps that we are using right now. The state house maps were actually approved by both Republicans and Democrats on that commission, though I think if you ask the Democrats on that commission, they would say they kind of made the best of their options there. So that's how it has worked. The Issue 1 would change that. They would create this 15-member commission of citizens. So it would be five independents and then five members from each of the two major parties. So right now that's Republicans and Democrats, but maybe in the future, if there was a Purple People Eater party that was more popular, they could get some members on this. So that commission, those individuals could not be elected officials, they couldn't be lobbyists, they couldn't be people working on a campaign or candidates, for example. There's also new rules on how they would draw the maps, so that's all included in the proposed amendment.
Jen, League of Women Voters supports Issue 1. Explain briefly why. What do you see as the advantages of the system Issue 1 proposes?
Well, first off, thanks for having me. And I just want to point out that the League of Women Voters has been fighting gerrymandering for decades. In fact, our first ballot initiative to end gerrymandering was in 1981, and it was supported by the Ohio Republican Party and opposed by the Democratic Party. Why? Because whatever party is in power wants to keep the system as is. At the end of the day, though, What we know is that politicians are going to politician. Those who are in charge of drawing the lines are going to do their best to rig the maps for so that they and their friends can continue to get elected over and over again. Yes on one, for citizens, not politicians, would end gerrymandering by empowering citizens, not politicians, to draw those legislative maps. It would mean that politicians, lobbyists, party leaders, and their spouses would not be able to draw the lines. As important for us is the fact that this commission would have party balance. As Jesse just mentioned, the current process has 5 Republicans and 2 Democrats, even though the Republicans only have a slight favor in the state. It also has no independents, even though independents are many Ohioans, a large number of Ohioans consider themselves independent. So this would have 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, and 5 independents. And finally, it would require true transparency. The maps that we are living under today and any maps we've had in subsequent decades were created behind closed doors. And nothing that this commission does will be done behind closed doors.
Representative Stewart, you're one of many lawmakers and officials who oppose Issue 1. Many Republican lawmakers and officials oppose it. Explain briefly why you oppose Issue 1 and why you think Ohio would be better off keeping the current system.
Sure. Well, Ohio currently has a bipartisan system that actually, for the first time, and I think anybody can remember, actually requires buy-in from both parties to have a map that lasts for 10 years. Issue 1 eliminates that. The current maps were approved by both parties, and Ohioans have already gone to the ballot box in 2015 and 2018, and with over 70% of the vote on a bipartisan basis, both parties went and came to an agreement to put in place the system that we have. The system that we have emphasizes that we want to keep communities together, that we want to keep counties and townships and villages and cities from being unnecessarily split. You know, my first district when I came to the legislature had 6 counties in it. You know, little pieces of 6 different counties. My current district does not. Under the new maps, it's much better. I have 2 complete counties and 2 townships in another county. No split, you know, we don't have those same kind of splits. And so we should give the system that Ohioans voted for a chance to actually work. And beyond that, Issue 1 will absolutely not end gerrymandering. It will mandate and guarantee gerrymandering in favor of the Democrats and their foreign donors who have backed this campaign. It requires that the map makers draw a predetermined number of safe seats that Democrats can win. That's the overriding objective under Issue 1. Everything else in this amendment is subordinate to that. And so compactness, keeping communities together, you know, eliminating these splits that we have of all these different communities, that's all subordinate to the requirement that you have to draw enough seats that Democrats can win. Well, if you're drawing legislative lines to achieve a predetermined outcome that favors one political party, we have a word for that. It's called gerrymandering. And that's exactly what Issue 1 is going to heighten if it's passed. When people think about gerrymandering in Ohio, what they typically are thinking about is the funny districts, right? The funny lines that stretch all over the place and, you know, look kind of absurd. Well, if you don't like that under today's system, you're going to hate it if Issue 1 passes, because the only way in Ohio today to artificially draw enough seats that Democrats can win in this state is to draw districts that span all over Ohio. These maps are going to look worse than they do today.
Jen, what do you say to that?
Well, there's a lot of different things I can say. First and foremost, we did support the 2015 and 2018 packages that were passed, those amendments that were passed. But let us remember that it was the Ohio General Assembly that designed those. And the Ohio General Assembly gave the Ohio Supreme Court the authority to judge maps on fairness and then ignored the Ohio Supreme Court rulings 7 times. The politicians who wrote the amendments are not following their own amendment. So we have to take them out of the equation. So that's step one. Step two, we require in Citizens Not Politicians, a yes vote means that out of this 15-member panel, you need 9 votes to pass, at least two Republicans, 2 Democrats, and 2 independents. So it's beyond bipartisan. It's actually giving voice to independent individuals. Finally, I'll just mention that we at the League of Women Voters submitted maps that were created by everyday people. And we asked the redistricting commission to consider them and to make them their starting point. Those maps that we submitted were more fair and more compact than what the commission adopted or even what the Democrats proposed, because it's much harder to rig maps for political favor. You know, the large majority of individuals serving in the Ohio State House are in races, in seats that are so fair that they know that they will win over and over and over again. They are completely unaccountable to the people of Ohio. And what I've seen in my decades of working the State House on behalf of the people of Ohio is that when lawmakers cross the aisle to try to work on a common sense solution, they lose their primary. And why is that? Because the primary is the most important election. Under the system right now, where politicians are rigging maps for their favor and ignoring the Supreme Court, in the system right now, the primary election is the most important, and that is fueling partisan extremes, and it is fueling government dysfunction. We have to take the mapping away from politicians and lobbyists and put it in the hands of the people of Ohio. Restore power to where it belongs, in the hands of Ohio citizens.
We have some callers lined up, but first, Representative Stewart, I want to give you a chance to respond to that. You know, there's this argument that, hey, if politicians are drawing these maps, they have a vested interest in the outcome. There's kind of a conflict of interest at the start. What do you think about that?
Well, one word for politician, you know, there's a focus on politician. The other word for that is elected official. Okay. The entirety of the state of Ohio's history shows us that we have always valued as a people making sure that those who have electoral, who have authority over us, are electorally accountable to us. And that's why we elect everybody in Ohio. We elect recorders, treasurers. We elect a fiscal officer in every single township. We elect coroners. And for all times, we've also, that is also included that the map makers, who are essentially going to kind of determine in a roundabout way, you know, control the United States Congress, control the Ohio State House, that these people are also electorally accountable to us. Issue one tosses that in the garbage. Issue one says we're going to take the authority away from elected officials, who you can vote out if you disagree with how they do their job, and replace that with unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats who cannot be removed for any reason. The map makers under issue one cannot be removed if they shirk their duties. They cannot be removed if they break the law. They cannot be removed if we look at this process and say, we think you got it wrong. That flies in the face of, you know, what I would call small d democratic tradition in this state, which is, you know, one person's politician is another person's elected official. I would rather have, frankly, I'm a Republican, but I would rather have maps drawn by a board of all Democrats who are elected officials, who are accountable for their actions to we the people, instead of to this, you know, group that we're going to, you know, literally issue one says we're going to draw them, we're going to pick the map makers by drawing names out of a hat. I would much rather have elected officials with their hand on the wheel than some unelected, unaccountable bureaucrat who was picked out of a hat, by the way, by politicians. You know, this all this talk of eliminating politicians from the process, issue one's process starts with politicians who pick the map makers themselves.
We'll get to some of those details, but I do want to take a call real quick. Hey, Joe, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
I'm concerned mostly about congressional districts and state house districts favoring one party so much that the most extreme elements of that party control the district. And I'm not sure how issue one would solve that problem if the goal of issue one is to create a statewide balance between the number of Democrats and the number of Republicans. Those two things seem to be mutually exclusive to me.
Thanks for that question, Joe. Jen, what do you think about the point Joe is raising there?
Thank you, Joe. So first off, let's talk about a few things. The Ohio House, Republicans in the most recent election got about 58% of the votes, but hold 68% of the seats. The Ohio Senate, Republicans got 59% of the votes and hold 78, almost 79% of the seats. What we see there is that Republicans continue to get 15% more seats than votes. What we aren't saying is that it has to be exactly equal. But the only way you can get to that outcome where Republicans have these super majorities that are actually unearned, these super majorities where they are getting far larger percent of seats than percent of votes statewide, the only way that happens is through gerrymandering. So what we are saying, Joe, is that one of the ways you judge gerrymandering is if people have power. What we will see when we finally have fair districts, because we remove self-interest out of it, are lots of districts that sway back and forth. We will have, yes, there will be some places where they'll be in a very conservative area and those districts will be Republican, some places that are very Democrat and those districts will be go Democrat. But in a lot of places, we will get swinging back and forth. And when you have competitive districts, it requires that elected officials, it requires lawmakers to listen to their constituents and serve them. Right now, there is absolutely no accountability in this system. The politicians on the current redistricting commission are not accountable to voters. Here's an example. One of the Republican members got his seat on the Senate after running with no opposition in a gerrymandered district. And one of the Democratic members is running unopposed for re-election this November after she redrew her district to make it even more gerrymandered. That's not accountability. Right now, Ohio voters cannot vote their way out of this unless we vote yes on citizens, not politicians, yes on one.
Jesse, what do you think about Joe's assessment that issue one, if it aims to create kind of this statewide balance or districts that reflect these statewide vote outcomes, that it would continue to create districts potentially that reflect extremes of their voters?
Yeah, I think there are parts of the state that are always going to vote for Republicans and parts of the state that are always going to vote for Democrats. So I don't know if there is a way to draw maps in Ohio where Democrats would like gain back control of the Senate, which has been Republican since, I believe, the 1980s, for example. I think a different map could lead to less of a supermajority for Republicans in the Ohio State House. And so I guess we'll see how that plays out. The current way that Ohio does maps, there are a variety of rules about you can't divide this city, you can't divide that county, you can't divide, you know, of a certain population. For example, the city of Cincinnati has to be kept in one congressional district under the changes that were approved in 2018. The issue one takes a different approach. They focus on these communities of interest and keeping those together. So, you know, which way do you like to do it better?
Joe, thanks so much for that call. We need to take a quick break. We will continue our conversation about issue one right after that. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're talking today about Issue 1, the constitutional amendment on Ohio's ballot that seeks to change the state's redistricting process. My guests are Ohio State Representative Brian Stewart, a Nashville Republican, League of Women Voters of Ohio Executive Director Jen Miller, and USA Today Network Ohio Bureau reporter Jesse Ballmert. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We did get an email from Nicholas, and Nicholas emails, "This needs to pass. The gerrymandering in Ohio needs to stop. New York has a similar thing that was passed by voters several years ago." Representative Stewart, I want to get your thoughts. There are these other citizen commissions in other parts of the country. Do you think any of those could be models for Ohio? If I know you don't like what issue one is proposing, but do you think any of those other commissions could be models? Or do you think, as you said before, it really needs to be in the hands of elected officials?
Well, I think these faux citizen commissions in other states are really an indication of why issue one is a bad idea for Ohio. You know, you have a system in California that, you know, just conveniently, essentially, you know, draws, you know, 90% of the districts are held by Democrats. You know, you have other state commissions have done the same. You know, New York only has, you know, relatively fair districts for this election cycle because federal courts stepped in and stopped the commission from enacting the map that they tried to pass, which would have likewise essentially eliminated, you know, most Republican representation. The idea that you're going to take politics entirely out of the political, you know, line drawing, I think is really tough to do. And so the better option is to just make sure that the people involved in this process are electorally accountable. You know, there was all this gnashing of teeth over, you know, from some quarters about the drawing of these lines in 2022. And then Ohioans went to the ballot and overwhelmingly reelected all of the Republican members who were on that commission by 20 points. You know, there's this talk of, well, this is an unearned majority in the Ohio House of Representatives for Republicans. In the last election in 2022, there were 19 seats in which Democrats were statistically favored to win. 19 seats, exactly the kind of math that the issue one backers are saying they want to see here. Well, Democrats lost 11 of those 19 seats. And so it's kind of a disservice to talk about, you know, the current makeup of the legislature and act like the candidates, the campaigns, and the actual issues that voters care about have no bearing on the outcome of these races. Democrats have had 19 seats where they could have won because they had the numbers to do so, and they didn't because they didn't run good campaigns, didn't run good candidates, or the voters disagreed with them on those issues. And so rather than go kind of win hearts and minds and win back support on the issues, we're coming back to the table on a partisan basis to try to change the rules in favor of the out-of-state radical leftist groups that are funding issue one. And that's not the way that we should be going with this.
Jen, I want to let you respond to that.
So first off, a partisan basis, that idea that this is partisan, those of us who are supporting citizens, not politicians, let's be clear. The woman who has served in Ohio office longer than any other woman in the state of Ohio, Republican Maureen O'Connor, helped write this legislation. It is supported by Republicans, Democrats, Independents, the Libertarian Party endorsed this week, nonpartisan groups like mine that never take stances on politicians or parties and have been fighting gerrymandering since the Democrats were the ones doing it here in Ohio and have also fought Democratic gerrymanders in other states. So first and foremost, this idea that it's partisan is ridiculous. It is supported by teachers, nurses, steel workers, auto workers, faith leaders across the state, the NAACP. But I want to remind everyone of something Rep. Bryant Stewart did recently, and I hope that this will help you decide whether you can trust him or not. This is one of the architects of the August special election last year, where we had to come back after we had said we weren't going to have August elections. We spent at least $20 million to have a special election on one issue, which was to decide whether ballot initiatives should have to pass by 60% rather than 50% plus one, equivalent to if the Red Legs get six runs, but the Guardians get four or five runs, the Guardians win. This gentleman tried to trick us out of voting our own rights away, and we fortunately saw through that. But in December of 2022, he actually made it clear that the reason he was supporting this was the reason why he wanted colleagues to help out and change that process was to stop abortion reform, which the league didn't have anything to do with, but also to stop redistricting. So this gentleman you're listening to right now has been opposed before this policy was even created. Why? Because right now he has the privilege of running in a district that he knows he will win over and over again. And so do his friends.
Representative Stewart, would you like to respond to that?
Well, you know, you talk about who is supporting this effort. You know, you want to talk about what you can trust. You know, Jen's president of the League of what is essentially the League of Democrat Women Voters. They are involved in every single left-wing cause under the sun and then continue to come on shows like this and pretend like they're still nonpartisan. Columbus Dispatch already covered this. Who supports issue one? The Ohio Democratic Party, the League of Democrat Women Voters, American Civil Liberties Union of Ohio, NAACP, Planned Parenthood, and an alphabet soup of other liberal groups. We've never done redistricting reform this way. We have done redistricting reform on a bipartisan basis, or we have not done it. And so, you know, this of course, we're, you know, Jen wants to relitigate the question that we had that Ohioans got to vote on. I'm glad they did. A question of how should our Constitution be managed? How should it be amended, and how should it not be amended? What she's fighting to preserve here is a system where she gets to go out of state, raise money on the coast, you know, raise money, you know, $20+ million outside of Ohio, and then come here and try to drown us in money and buy things that the legislature that's elected by the people doesn't agree with her on. And so that's not the way we should be handling redistricting, and it's a disservice.
We have another caller on the line. Hi, Andy. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I read the ballot language this morning on the Secretary of State's vote Hamilton County, Ohio. I'm quite angered at the ballot language. I would like to know, what did the Secretary of State's office draft that language, and was it approved? But I would imagine this language was challenged, and did the Supreme Court rule on it? You know, I don't know how this is going to pass. When reading it, you would think you're voting to get rid of gerrymandering by voting no. You know, it says that it will require gerrymandering. You know, Ohioans have passed these referenda twice, I think in 2015 and 2018, and the Republicans have done everything they could do to avoid the redistricting that's required by law.
Thanks, Andy. Let's talk about that ballot language. That's a really important part of all this. Jesse, explain the complications around this language. Andy just referenced the ballot language and reading it and thinking it was kind of confusing. I'm paraphrasing here. There is this line on the ballot that this would establish a new taxpayer-funded commission of appointees required to gerrymander the boundaries of state legislative districts to favor either of the two largest political parties in the state of Ohio according to the formula based on partisan outcomes as the dominant factor. Jesse, where did that language come from?
Yeah, I can give you a bit of a history of how we got here. So basically, there's a 5-member panel called the Ohio Ballot Board, and they have a variety of jobs, but one of them is to set the ballot language for constitutional amendments or initiated statutes. And so when issue one came to the ballot board, Ohio Secretary of State had crafted some language for what this should look like. It included things like the title. Actually, at the ballot board, that language about requiring gerrymandering was added by one of the Senator Teresa Gavarone, who is a Republican. And so that was approved 3-2. So the 3 Republicans voted for it. The 2 Democrats voted against it. And it went to the Ohio Supreme Court because a group challenged that language. The Ohio Supreme Court ruled 4-3 along kind of party lines that most of this language was fine. They were okay with the language requires gerrymandering because they said this could be a partisan gerrymander. Now, the groups like Jen will still be opposed to this language and say it's confusing for voters. And so I do think, to your listener's point, it might encourage a no vote, but we'll see if the ballot language is a deterrent for people or is helpful for people.
Jen, what do you think of that ballot language? Are there specific parts of it that concern you?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, thank you for that call. What voters need to know first is that what that description is on the ballot is not the amendment. Those are not the same thing. The amendment was written by Maureen O'Connor, Yvette McGee Brown, so we're Republican and Democrat former Supreme Court justices, folks like myself who are truly nonpartisan. We had professors from Ohio State, UC, OU, across the state also faith leaders. And so the amendment really does end gerrymandering. But again, remember that politicians are going to politician. They are doing everything they can to confuse voters because that's all they got. They don't have any good arguments as to why the system that we have now works. And so, because it doesn't, the system we have now is harming every Ohio voter. And that's why we need a yes on Citizens Not Politicians. And we need to make sure that you check in with all your friends and neighbors, just like we did last August, where we made, it was a neighbor to neighbor campaign, and making sure folks understood and could see through the rhetoric to vote their interest. Our interest here today as Ohioans is a yes on one this November.
Representative Stewart, what do you think of that language? Do you think that language, especially as it relates to gerrymandering, does that make sense to you? Do you think that's, you know, what should be on the ballot?
Well, I'm not on the ballot board, but I agree with the language because I think it is in practice what is happening. You know, here's what happens at the ballot board. The campaign, the Yes on Issue 1 campaign, comes in and essentially provides their campaign talking points and says, we'd like you to print our campaign talking points in the ballot summary. That's not what the ballot board is for. It's to determine what does this amendment actually do when you cut through the fluff and the talking points and the $20 million of advertising that they're going to put on TV. And when you get to, when you actually dig into this amendment, is it prioritizes above all else that we have to draw a predetermined number of safe seats for Democrats to win. That is gerrymandering, period. And so it's inconvenient for the Issue 1 folks that the ballot board language calls Issue 1 for what it is. But let's understand how this is going to work in practice. The reality is Democrats in the state have largely packed themselves into 3 to 5 counties in Ohio. Okay, that's okay. That's everybody's decision. But that means that the only way that you can artificially create more safe seats for Democrats to win is you have to start in those blue urban areas, break it into a pie, and start drawing outwards. So you'll have Southwest, you know, Southeast Ohio and the Hocking Hills represented by a Democrat from downtown Columbus. You'll have Portsmouth and Hillsborough, you know, in Southwest Ohio represented by a Democrat from downtown Cincinnati. You'll have farm communities around Wapakoneta represented by a Democrat from downtown Toledo. That is the play. And so the only way you can do that is you're going to have to draw districts that are far more contrived and illogically drawn than what we have today. And when people think of gerrymandering, they think of funny districts, lines that look weird. Well, when you're drawing lines from Columbus to Portsmouth and Cincinnati, you know, up to, you know, the suburbs of Columbus, that's what you're going to get in Issue 1. And that is gerrymandering.
Jen, is that what that citizen group you mentioned that you submitted some citizen drawn or suggested maps to the redistricting commission? Is that what those districts look like?
No, not at all. So what we submitted and we asked to be starting points simply because the mapping software that citizens have is not as high quality, but we asked to be starting points are compact and generally go, you know, about 53% of the seats go Republican rather than having these unearned supermajorities. But what the representative just described is our current districts that have been approved by politicians. So let's be really clear. We have 67 Ohio school districts that are divided, including 13 school districts that are so small. They only have 2 buildings, but each of those buildings are in different places. We have places like Stony Ridge in Wood County that's only got 659 people, but is split into 2 congressional districts. Or Junaid and Hutton on the east side of the state in Tuscarora County that only has 1,200 people could fit into 1 congressional district 649 times, but it is split. We have all kinds of funky shapes. We have, in Cincinnati, District 1, where Cincinnati, to drown out the voices of Cincinnati, they had to build this weird land bridge to connect Cincinnati to Warren County because they're not adjacent. And if you look at it, not only is it a funky district, but it is completely polluting our representation. The different needs of the people of Warren County and Cincinnati are could not be more astronomically different. It would be hard for a congressional lawmaker to represent their needs when Cincinnati has very high poverty has challenges with healthcare access, and Warren is very affluent. When we build with communities of interest, we can get to fair maps that are more competitive and more representational, but you have to take self-interest out of it. We even heard the representative say that he would prefer maps drawn by Democratic politicians than citizens. Why? Because politicians will stick together at the end of the day. We need to take self-interest out of this by banning politicians and lobbyists and instead put in a system that is, again, let's remind everyone, supported by the Libertarian Party, is supported by wide ranges of firefighters, teachers, law enforcement, the Ohio Council of Churches, the NAACP, nonpartisan groups like the League, a wide range of organizations coming together asking for a multi-partisan process, five Republicans, five Democrats, five independents who have to work together to create maps. Right now, politicians don't have to work with anyone to make maps. And independents are completely silent, and one party always has an outsized control of the process.
We've got a lot more to talk about. We got to take another quick break. I do want to clarify that I believe Representative Stewart said the reason he would prefer Democrats is because, in his view, elected officials are more accountable. We'll talk more about that after the break. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about Issue 1 on the Ohio ballot, a constitutional amendment that seeks to change the state's redistricting process. My guests are Ohio State Representative Brian Stewart, an Asheville Republican, League of Women Voters of Ohio Executive Director Jen Miller, and USA Today Network Ohio Bureau Reporter Jesse Ballmert. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Earlier in the conversation, we were talking about accountability. And Jen, we've heard Representative Stewart argue that this citizen commission envisioned under Issue 1 wouldn't be accountable to voters the way elected officials are. I want to ask you to respond to that. And also, we had a caller who didn't stay on the line who asked, how long would these members of the board serve if Issue 1 were to pass?
Thank you for that. So a couple things. They have one job, and that's what's great about it. They have one job, which is to create these maps. And they would, when we win in November, we would immediately, as a state, start working on the creating the commission and creating maps so that we would have voters would be able to vote on fair districts, like actually have fair representation starting in the 2026 election cycle. The next census is in 2030, and we would see a new commission. Now, about accountability. So first and foremost, again, four of the seats on the redistricting commission are lawmakers who are drawing their own lines to make sure that they win their election over and over again. So they're not held accountable at all. There are three statewide officials. That's true. But all of us are voting on a wide range of things beyond the redistricting process. If we want accountability, and I think it's real rich, actually, that these folks keep talking about accountability because there is none. We, as the people of Ohio, cannot vote out our elected Congress people or state house members because the maps are rigged. In the meantime, we are talking about also a very transparent system. So you may remember that during the mapping process last round, they had these hearings all over the state. Do you know that the people of Ohio didn't even have a map to respond to? Do you know that on a regular basis in the redistricting commission hearings, even if they were referencing something I said in testimony before, I wasn't able to get up and correct the record, or the fact that the maps that were used are created behind closed doors? Every part of this process will be done transparently. Ohioans will have ample opportunity to participate and explain what they want their districts to look like and give feedback on maps. And again, true accountability is that we're not going to get ridiculous districts like we have right now when we have no self-interest in the process and is truly tripartisan. Every map that is adopted has to have at least two Republican, two Democrat, and two independents supporting it, a total of 9 out of the 15 voters. I mean, I'm sorry, a total of 9 out of the 15 commissioners. We're talking about a fair, transparent process made by people who are accountable to voters in a way that politicians who draw their own lines never will be.
We got a call from Jeff who didn't stay on the line. Jeff says, Representative Stewart says there's no recourse, but there is recourse. I'm a retired attorney. In other states, they have gone to the courts to seek redress. And Jeff said this is just scare tactics. But Jen, how would a member of the commission be removed if one needs to be removed? Is there a way to remove a member of this citizen commission if there's a need for that?
Yeah, there would be a tripartisan vote to remove them. And there are strict rules for these commissioners, and there would be a tripartisan vote to remove them. But I think we can talk about accountability in the greater scale. What we don't have now is accountability where voters, if they are unhappy with their Congress member or they're unhappy with their state house member, they can't actually vote them out. What happens is those lawmakers, when they cross the aisle and try to work on common sense solutions instead of hyper-partisan extreme legislation, they lose their primaries. And so they're always going to play to big-pocketed donors, and they're always going to play to party extremes. And you are right that voters could take the maps drawn to the courts. So the first priority of our policy and citizens, not politicians, is to abide by federal laws. Those would go to federal court. If the maps are unfair, those would go to the Supreme Court. And instead of the court striking maps down 7 times, we will see the maps fixed. And what do I mean by that? If the Ohio Supreme Court strikes the maps down and the commission refuses to fix it, the Ohio Supreme Court can hire mappers to fix the maps for fairness.
We do have some more callers on the line. Hi, Robert. Thanks for listening. What's your question or comment?
Hi, everyone. Thank you for, I want to first thank everybody for like getting together to talk about this, because as another caller mentioned, the ballot language was deliberately changed earlier to make it more confusing. But my question is, has there been any thought about like different countries and different places have proportional representation, where and this does depend on a party system being stronger than it is now, and some people would understandably have issues with if they're independent, they don't really want the party to have a bigger focus. But instead of districts, it'd be you vote.
Okay. Thank you so much, Robert. We appreciate that. I'm going to put you on hold so that we can hear from our panelists about that. Representative Stewart, is that something that lawmakers have considered, have talked about, proportional representation?
I don't know that there's anywhere in America that is doing it that way. And I mean, you know, I always usually say my ears are open to anything, but I don't think that's probably the route that Ohio is likely to go. You know, speaking to some of the issues that were just brought up, you know, this idea that, well, we'll somehow figure out how to remove a derelict or bad map maker. It's not in the amendment. It's not there. There's no process for it. The only one outlined by the other panelist here is, well, we're talking about accountability. Well, the other map makers can decide whether they want to jettison a map maker who's not doing their job or has broken the law or something else to that effect. There's no accountability from we the people. It's, again, now we've insulated it here with these map makers. And another thing that we've not talked about at all is I don't know where on earth these map makers are going to come from, because this amendment has been drafted so incredibly narrowly. I can't think of anybody who qualifies. When I talk about this in other groups, I ask people to raise their hand. You know, raise your hand if you've ever served in office. Raise your hand if you've ever run for office. Raise your hand if you're a family member of anybody who's run for office, served on the library board, served on a parks board, served on your neighborhood commission, you know, ever been on your local central committee. This amendment says you can't have even had a discussion about redistricting at any time in the last 6 years, or you're disqualified from serving too. And by the time I get done talking, essentially, the entire room's hands are up And then I say, congratulations, you're all ineligible to serve on the Ohio Redistricting Commission. This is going to be a mess.
Is that right, Jen? You can't have talked about redistricting for 6 years?
That's a lie. So let me just say this. I think the representative mostly just hangs out with politicians and political party leaders because I travel the state. I love what I do. I travel the state and talk to voters about democracy. And I was just in a room at the UAW in Lorain County where almost everybody there could put their name in the hat. I go to churches. I go to Rotary Club. Almost everyone can run for commissioner. There are so many folks that could do this and do this well. And that's what's most exciting, is that we could put people in who just want to make sure that Ohio is represented fairly and that our maps are fair, and that we take the self-interest out, at the same time empowering equal numbers of Republican, Democrat, and Independent. Citizens, not politicians, passes. We'll still slightly have more Republicans in office than Democrats. It's just that the party leaders won't be guaranteed a supermajority, a veto-proof majority, where they get at least a 15% advantage in seats than the percentage of votes that they won statewide. This is about fairness. This is about the people of Ohio. This is about making sure that politicians don't create maps that harm every single one of us, because they do. And that's why I ask everyone to look past the ballot language, understand that the amendment is very different, very thoughtful, and to vote yes on one.
We appreciate that call, Robert. We also have Kristen on the line. Hi, Kristen. Thanks for your call. What's your question?
Hi, I'm calling from Mount Adams, and I plan on voting yes on one, but I'm wondering if there's ever a possibility of using AI, leveraging AI or algorithms to draw maps that are designed for compactness, also equitable population distribution between districts, and to keep neighborhoods together. It seems to me that it's a possibility to program an algorithm or ask AI to draw districts that takes a people out of it altogether.
Interesting. Thanks, Kristen. Jesse, is that anything you've heard about?
Yeah, I don't think so. The technology and the programs that we use for redistricting have gotten very technical, very impressive over the years. And so the people who've made our current maps are able to drill down really, really far on this. And the people who have proposed other maps are also able to do a pretty good job on stuff. I think when you use a computer, you end up coming up with a variety of possible options that, you know, would hit those demographics and splits that you are looking for or not looking for, depending. And so eventually someone's going to have to choose what of those computer options is the right one for Ohio.
The other thing is, we have to know who's making the algorithms. Algorithms aren't just naturally fair. They're created by people. And so there's a lot of room to actually rig unfairness into that process as well.
I've been talking with Ohio State Representative Brian Stewart, an Asheville Republican, League of Women Voters of Ohio Executive Director Jen Miller, and USA Today Network Ohio Bureau reporter Jesse Ballmert. Thank you all so much for your time today. You can find a link to the full text of the Issue 1 Amendment on our website, wvxu.org. You can also find our 2024 voter guide there with more election information. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. And if you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.